Like to say good afternoon to everyone, Brother Tommy Brooks, the minister for the afternoon. You know, we welcome those who are going to be who have joined us from other congregations or may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored and honored guest of the audience tonight, rather this afternoon, and we thank you for joining us. We hope you will enjoy your time with us. More importantly, we pray that if you have not been saved, you have not obeyed the gospel, that you remember that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood that washed your sins away in baptism. He suffered a cruel death on the cross to save your soul. And you must believe that with all of your heart and repent of your sins, confess and be the Son of God, and be baptized. And the Lord will add you to the church, or the church you read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. So we thank you for joining us. And those of our sister congregation, one of the congregations, we welcome you to our call as well. So it's good to be back at Highland Heights again on this morning. We had a great time in the Lord on this morning. And today's emphasis on the lesson is on our soul. And this morning, as we talked about the soul of mankind, we have a body, we have a spirit, and we have a soul. And your soul belongs to God. If you want to hear that, get that lesson, you can go back and get that. It'll be uploaded to our website. But if you weren't there this morning, then we talked about how even with the international or Morse code, the stress signal is SOS. And recently, the five souls, they say, that was on the sub that went underwater to see the Titanic, souls were perished. And when you see an airplane, you have an airplane crash, they talk about how many souls were on the plane. But the Morse code, the stress signal of save our souls, is impossible for us to do it ourselves. The soul, as we talked about on this morning, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 3 through 4, the Bible says, God said, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. That soul, the soul that sent it, he said, it shall die. So, and I want to go to part two of that this afternoon. And we talked about the soul, and it would be foolish for someone not to obey God and do the things that God has specified in his word for us to do to save our souls. Soul is the most precious thing you have. I remember the first time I first got baptized at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. At that time, Brother Tillman Sr. was, John Tillman Sr. Was the elder there. And when I got baptized, he said, another precious soul had come to put Christ on in baptism. I understand the importance of that, what he's saying. Every soul is precious. God loves you. He loves your soul. And angels in heaven rejoice over when one sinner repents, because that person is saving their soul. And so then, we talked about that this morning, this afternoon. The soul is what waits upon God. All decisions, it surrounds our soul. And I want to go to Psalms 62, the second division of Psalms. And I'm just curious, how many of you understand the inner man must be the one in connection in communion with God? How many on the call this afternoon need to learn that your soul needs to wait on God? Everything about you comes within you. How many this afternoon have taken matters maybe in your own hand and forgot everything God is doing in your life? All your situations, God is putting you in a situation to save your soul or cause you to come to repentance to say it's all about the soul. So when you start looking at life, you want to look at life from the standpoint of your soul being in connection with God. And God is going to protect that soul. And David wrote it like this in Psalm 67, the second division, chapter 62, verse 1. Truly, he says, my soul, there it is, waited upon God. From him cometh my salvation. So the soul is very involved in the connection with God. It's the inner man, the heart, the inner you. And David is saying here, when it comes to salvation, from him coming my salvation. Salvation means to save you. And God gives us salvation from trouble, but it's for our soul. He gives us salvation from enemies because he wants our souls to be saved. And he gives us salvation from the eternal loss of our soul if we obey the gospel. Some people take matters in their own hands, and by doing this, the things their way, they think they should do to be saved or whatever. They should be saved from whatever problem they're going through. God should just save them. But what we're talking about now, David says, truly, my soul waited upon God. So whatever you're going through, place your soul first and wait upon God. Many people are in trouble spiritually because their soul's in trouble because they don't see God and their soul being connected and in communion and everything going on in their life. God is allowing to save the soul. David said, he only, verse 2, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. So God, for the purpose of our soul, he's our rock. And he is our salvation. When we're true to God, he is our defense. And no matter what we are up against in this life, we must have the attitude that I cannot be moved from God because whatever I'm going through is for my soul. God wants us to be saved. And that's why when you're a Christian, you know, Christ is a solid rock, you're staying all above the ground. It's singing saved. So we must be like David. David understood the connection there with his soul. And he said, I shall not be moved until God give me a way out of the problem. See, God always takes care of his children. Verse 3 says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall be, and a tottering fence. We'll be right here in Psalm 6 and 2nd Division. This is verse 3. So we live in a world where men will imagine or come up with ways to mischief or pick on you. And what the devil wants us to do is fall for these tricks, because we put our soul at stake. We'll go for this. These kind of people that come in your life will slay you. They when you're down like a wall that is born, what David said. People be enemies. Remember, our great enemy is the devil. He wants us to take down. So David is saying these kind of people will slay you when you are down like a wall that is born and a fence that is tottering about to fall down. In other words, people will pick on you when they see a weakness. So there are going to be people coming to your life with it. And I don't know, it may be your family member, friends, or co-workers, whoever they are. Could come in your life, present a situation to you. But remember now, you got to wait on God because of your soul. And you don't want to respond in a way that won't be pleasing to God, because God is allowing these things to happen in your life because he wants you to save your soul. Some of us are going through things because God has given us a chance to save our soul, to respond with him in mind. Look at verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. The motive of those people who are trying to take you down from excellency. For example, say you're a Christian, you have to change life. Some people are jealous because you're striving for excellency. You want to be a better person. You're trying to live right. So they do things, say things that may cause you to fall. They delight in you lying on you. Or they will bless or say good things to your face and curse you inside what they are saying. Saying things like, you know, look at him. I think he Mr. Spiritual, Mr. Goody Two Shoes. He better than holy than thou, that type of stuff. What should you do? What should we do? How should we respond? Well, should you get them back? Should you seek vengeance? Well, David didn't say that. Verse 5, he said, my soul, wait thou only up on God. See, he went back. These people may do all these things to bring him down, but he said, I got to wait on God because my soul waited for God, for my expectations from him. God knows what to do to keep us safe. Wait on God. Let your soul make decisions about things in life so you'll put your soul at risk. Wait on God and expect God to handle all your situations. I've been on a call of waiting on God. I've been on a call and took things in your own hand. Now your soul is at stake. Now you're in trouble. Now you have a problem. Why didn't you wait on God? Your soul must wait up on the Lord. Verse 6. David said, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Look into him. He's looking at God and he's considering the soul. When you know only God is your rock for your soul, your salvation, he's your defender, you can't move. You can't let people take you any direction, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Because God is your rock. He's your salvation. He's your defense. You can't leave. That's why we don't depart from the doctrine of Christ in the Church of Christ. We can't take a chance on doing things in worship or doing things that's in our lives that are not according to God's will because our souls are at stake. Seems like we ought to understand that. And we ought to understand that we just can't do anything we want to do when it comes to God. God is he's the only, David says, is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. He's my rock to save my soul. He's my salvation for my soul. He's my defender of my soul. God is in place to save our souls. Can you say this afternoon that you wait on God because of your soul? And David said in verse 7, and God is my salvation, and God is my glory. He is the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Look how connected he is, church. Brothers, sisters, and friends, look how connected he is, how focused he is. If we could be focused like this on our soul, we would know God is not my salvation. God is my glory. God is my strength. He's my refuge. He's my protector for my soul. He gives me strength to save my soul. He gives me the glory to come to be this child, and he'll give me that salvation. Why? Because my soul is waiting on him. We gotta do everything. Everything we do is about our soul. Our soul wait upon the Lord. Are you one who have gotten frustrated perhaps and left the church and started doing things because you were frustrated what's going on maybe in a congregation or in your life or going on in your life? Are you one who is weak with no strength, no glory, no salvation, no protection? Why would you be? Why would that be? Only because you didn't wait on God. See, if you understood your soul, you couldn't walk away from the Lord. If you knew God was going to be the only one who could save your soul, if you understood that God is your rock, your salvation, your strength, your refuge, why the whole purpose? He said, it's not to save us in this life. God get us through things in this life to save our soul. It's about the life after this life. So will we go through pain? Yes. Will we have troubles? Yes. Will we need strength? Yes. Can we give up? No. Why? You got to wait on God because it's all about your soul. In verse number 8, David says, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. When you can wait on the Lord, when you can wait on, when your soul is waiting on God, you have to know that that soul must trust in God, not sometimes, all the time. They said, trust in him at all times. And that means no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter what your situation, maybe you're on the call there. And he said, Brooks, I'm going through a lot of things. I'm going through some health issues. I'm going through financial things. I'm going through a marital problem. I'm having all kinds of things going on in my life. You got to wait on God. Got to wait on God. And when you wait on God and you trust him, God is going to give you a way out of these situations that will protect your soul. God is never going to give you a way to put your soul in danger. He going to give you a way out. And maybe you're stressing over things. Maybe you're going through some financial things. Remember, none of that stuff means anything in this life, y'all. What shall it profit If a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? Jesus asked. So we can see the lesson this evening is connected to this morning. Your soul belongs to the Lord. And during your life, you may be sitting there right now to make some major decisions you think are big. But you know you might have been under a stressful situation, and God moved that stress because it was going to put your soul at risk. You'll be doing things that you shouldn't be doing, or you'll be under stress that you didn't need to be on. And God, because you waited on God, he gave you a way out. Because your soul is focused. When your soul, you are focused on your soul, connection with God, you wait on the Lord. When you wait on him, it shows you trust him. You know you are his child. You're his people, as David said. Ye people. You pour your heart out through prayers and you worship. That's why we come this Sunday morning and to come in a place of worship. Because of our soul, that connection to worship God who is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him. Why? Because God is our refuge. He's our protection for our soul. Somebody on the call this evening, you are going through a whole lot of stuff in your life right now. It may be a wife going through a lot of things. Maybe a mother going through some things with your children. Could be a husband. He ain't the man you want to be. You got things holding you down. Think about it. What God is allowed to happen in your life is for your soul. Trust him. Verse 9. Surely men of low degree of vanity, David said, and men of high degree of a lot. To be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Now watch this connection here. Remember, David said, truly my soul waited for the Lord. Okay. So what is David saying? What is, God can help you. He can help us with the highest ranking. You may see somebody, the highest ranking in your life, they rank higher than you, or somebody rank lower than you. An example would be your boss. He's a higher rank on the job. And your coworkers are a lower rank possible. And you go to that job, you gotta put both of them in a balance, a way there. In God's sight, no matter who your enemies are, no matter who's bigger than you are, no matter what status in life they have, in God's sight, they are vanity. They are meaningless because God will allow nothing a man can do that God will give us a way to protect our soul. Man is nothing against God. What should we do when things like this, higher people higher than us, doing us wrong or whatever? Your soul. Remember on your job, the reason we act like Christians on our job and we don't act like everybody else because of our souls. We're trying to save our soul. And God said, God before you, who can be against you? No matter what you're going, no matter who's picking on you or what's going on, your soul is at stake. If you respond like the world responds, that's not going to be pleasing to God. What God wants you to do is wait on him to give you a way out of that thing and keep your soul safe. So we say, wait your soul need to wait upon God. Verse 10, trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon you. So where is your trust at this afternoon? Are you oppressed or stooping low for gain, doing things you shouldn't be doing? Are you stooping low to get ahead in life? Do you cheat on your taxes or doing something that you know isn't wrong? That is an oppression state, a stooping low. Well, you lost focus. See, when you focused on your soul, you'll wait on God to get you through this stuff. You don't get so oppressed that you're going into doing things you shouldn't do because your soul is at stake. My soul got to wait on. I can't go out there and just do whatever I want to do. My soul waited on the Lord. Set your heart there. Focus on God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Protect your soul. Then David says in verse 11, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Look, we said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. What power? What power belongs to God? The power to save your soul. The power belongs to God. Mankind has no power. We have no power. The power belongs to God. God got everything we need in this life. He gives it to us to save our souls. Truly. I hope you can say this evening that this lesson says, you know what? I know my soul is going to answer to God. And in this life, everything surrounds my soul. My soul waited upon God. In closing, David said in verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Now notice this. David says this. I know this, and we all need to know this. Not only is the power in God's hand, but God is a merciful God. Mercy is in his hand. Mercy is in God's hand. And that's why many people are still alive. God is being long-suffering and merciful for them because of their soul. God is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that we perish, but he wants to come to repentance. He leads that decision to us. If we see the value of living a Christian life, God will reward us, good or bad, according to our works. With this fact in mind, what should you do in this life? What are these lessons that I've taught this morning and this afternoon? Everything surrounds your soul. And I'm going to say this. When a person dies, nothing else will matter. It's just where is all, like the song said, is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? No matter what, be like David. No matter who you fight against, no matter who wronged you, no matter who treats you like a weak bending fence, no matter who casts you down, no matter who or what try to make you fall, no matter if they're high or lower positions in life, remember this. Remember this. And what you leave with on this lesson. Your soul is waiting on God to be your rock. God is your rock for your soul. God is your salvation. God is the defender for your soul. He's the strength to keep your soul safe. And God is the refuge and protection for your soul. And unto him belongeth mercy. And maybe you're on the call this evening. And you're going through some things. And you're about to do something that's going to cause you to lose your soul. Or perhaps you're on the call and you're already in a situation right now. That you're on this call this afternoon. But there's some things going on in your life. And you know if you were to die now, your soul would be lost. And you're troubled by the lesson. Because God has given you everything you need to protect your soul. And this lesson is to you. To refocus, reprioritize your soul salvation. And you start, for those who are not members of Church of Christ, you start by understanding that God sent out the distress signal, save our soul, by sending his only son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him, the whole world. It's an international plea. God wants to save our souls. He wants to save the world. And he gives us everything we need to save our soul. The beginning of saving our soul is believing in the Bible. Believing that God loved you and his book's right. If you believe that, then you'll believe that God sent his son. And his son came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when Jesus came, he came and told the people, I didn't come for the righteous. I came to save those who are lost. That's what he did. He came as a great physician to save sin-sick souls. Jesus stayed among men. He helped He healed the blind. He gave sight to the blind, healed the sick, raised the dead. All this was the same song. It's one thing to cause people to believe in God. And then Jesus, in the last 24 hours of life, he even stated himself, my soul is troubled. His inner man was troubled, but he knew that he had to go through the cup of suffering. He had to die to save our souls. And Jesus went before all the trials, and they beat him with the whip, and they put the crown of thorns on his head. I hope the story never gets old to you. Let's paint the picture where you can see your Savior suffering for you. And then this evening, remember, all of that was to save your soul. And James said in James 1, verse 21, for let apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness and grasp the word of God. And grasp the word which is able to save your soul. That's what we're preaching from. The word is there to save your soul. It gives you instruction. And the instruction it gives for those who are not saved, that want to be saved, you got to hear the gospel. And that gospel is the suffering Savior story, as I talked about, how he hung on that cross for 6 long hours. And on that cross, he was in pain. He was bloody. And he hung there. And right when he died, 3 o'clock that afternoon, he went on at 9 o'clock that morning. He said it was finished. What he was finished doing, he came to die to save our souls. And then the word of God tells us they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And early on Sunday morning, he rose. That's why we worship on Sunday. He rose with all power in his hand. And he gave this command, go teach all nations, Matthew 28:18. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe. That second part that's happening is to observe all things. Do what God told you to keep the soul safe. The beginning of it is being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. And then the Lord added to the church among other souls who have answered God's distress call. Save our souls. Call on God. He'll come. Jesus is calling. Come to me. All you labor, heavy labor. And I'll give you rest. Anybody want to save their soul this evening? You got to believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on that Calvary Hill. And when he got up, he got up with all power. Do you believe that with all of your heart? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible. Please, he come to God, must believe. Acts 15 and verse 7 says, you have to hear the word of the gospel and believe. And number 3, you have to repent. Luke 13:3. Jesus said, I'll tell your name. Except you repent, you're going to perish. What do you mean your soul is going to be like? Your soul will perish if you don't repent. Change your ways. Give your life to the Lord this evening. Be willing to confess before men your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then give your body to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is where your sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. According to Revelation 1:5, it's the blood of Jesus that washes your sins. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then perhaps you didn't know there's but one church. The Bible said in Acts 20:28, Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. That same blood purchased the church. The church became his wife, Ephesians 5:23, the following verses. And the church is Christ's wife. She wears his name. It's called the Church of Christ. That's right. And the Lord adds you to the church, Acts 2:47. He'll add you to the Church of Christ. That's what the Bible says. You can't join the Church of Christ. The Lord will add you. If you're ready today and your soul has been touched through the message. And remember, God is calling old sinners. Come home. Come home. Come to the Lord. Come to him. Give your life to him. If you're on a call and you're a member of the church and you need to respond because something has taken you away, maybe you've fallen. Maybe you got caught up in something or you just need to ask God to forgive you. Remember, put your soul first. Put the soul first. Put God back on in your life. Seek ye first, King. Make your confession if you need to this evening. Ask God to forgive you. The Lord will accept you back with open arms. But if you left the Lord, you need to come home. And you've lost sight of your soul. No matter what you're going through, If you need prayer, you ask for prayer during this, the invitation here, because God has put the pains of life in you, in your life, the travail, the pain you're going through. What is it for? Well, David said, my soul waits up on God. Wait on God, so he'll be your salvation. He can be your buckler. He can be your refuge. He can be your defense. He is everything you need. He's your rock. He's your strength. He's your refuge. If you would just trust him, turn your soul back over to the Lord. I hope you enjoyed the lesson this afternoon. If you want to respond, Brother Allen will be leading us now in the invitation song. We encourage you to do it as we sing the song of encouragement.